Rise and Shine Pile, 7:03. Better late than never, right? Jim Davis, along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. And away we go.
We'll catch a tailwind and we'll make up the time.
Exactly. Exactly. A little strong tailwind.
Yep. Yeah, we'll be fine.
We'll get caught up. All right. Busy program today, Mav Day at 9 o'clock this morning. And on Mav Day, Ryan Day.
Hey, nice.
Pitcher for the Godwin Mesa Mavericks. Continue that day family tradition over at the CMU baseball program and the CMU athletics as well. Because Ryan's mom, Jenny, an outstanding volleyball player at then Mesa State. So we'll talk with him. The skipper, Chris Hanks. Mavericks get two wins. Now 18 straight with the two wins over Regis yesterday. So we'll talk with the skipper, Chris Hanks, also Scott Sullivan, as CMU Men's Golf qualifies for postseason play. We'll have all that coming up this morning. So, first off, though, to Jeff Breidich, adios.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Don't let the door hit you on the way out.
While there was great jubilation in the Rockies world yesterday, fan base. But does it really solve all the problems?
No.
From an administrative point?
Sean Keeler has an article on the Post pretty much saying the same thing, that, yeah, that's good, but the problem is not solely Jeff Breidich.
And what we learned yesterday, what they announced in regard to positions being... basically, you know, kind of combined with Vice President and CEO Greg Fiesel, no longer Vice President. He'll now be the President, CEO.
Yep. He got promoted.
So he'll be the club president, and he'll still be the Chief Operating Officer. There's a problem with that. Greg Fiesel, guy's been with this organization for 25 years, mostly pro football background. Kelly McGregor, though, the late Kelly McGregor was the team president. Obviously had a color, you know, football background, Colorado State and the NFL as well with the Broncos. But Fiesel's never had anything to do with the baseball operations side. It's been ticketing. It's been human resources. It's been the business side of the Rockies operation.
The making money, not spending money.
Exactly. And that's why a lot of people... you know, including myself, I'm like, okay, it's fine that Breidich is gone, but that doesn't solve all the problems, because basically what this is to a degree, it's Dick Monfort.
The guy in charge is still there.
Exerting, you know, even more control, because Greg Fiesel's his guy.
They're not going to hire a GM until after the season.
Right.
That means
But there's going to start the process of looking for one, but it probably, like you said, it probably won't be until the season's over.
Well, they said in their statement they will not hire one until the season's over, and that's that. It was the last line, and for me, it kind of was like,
which I don't, you know, probably it'll be the case. You never know. I mean, they're saying that, but then timetable may get
moved maybe
up.
Who knows?
But that was what the statement said. That would be the end of the season when season's over before they hire anybody.
And that means that Dick Monfort essentially is in charge. He has his guy in, the Fiesel character, and who doesn't really know much about baseball. If they're not going to hire a GM for another 6 months, how are they going to go through this season? How are you going to have anybody that can even attempt to sway Trevor Story into possibly thinking about re-signing?
John Gray, same situation.
John Gray, to a lesser extent, but yeah.
I mean, both guys have expiring contracts.
Right. Story's the guy, though. I mean, he is the man on this team.
But you want to keep Gray because of what we're seeing. I mean, at this point in time, wouldn't you want to keep John Gray on this roster? I get it. Story's the priority.
Yeah.
Gray's a guy, though, I think you would now want to start. You'd like to keep him.
Right.
In this rotation.
Yeah, and so that was a little worrisome to me. And, you know, I understand that the team was ran better, I guess, with Kelly McGregor as the president, with Dan O'Dowd as the GM underneath him, they still weren't very good. It wasn't like, I mean, Kelly McGregor didn't necessarily make these shrewd baseball moves. The team was just more competent in running as a business and a baseball team. Their best success was well after he passed away and Dan O'Dowd's guys made it to the majors in 2017, 2018. I wasn't really Jeff Bridges doing anything other than letting the manager promote these guys to the major league.
Well, let's give the late Kelly McGregor some credit, though.
I mean,
he was the team president when they went to the World Series.
Oh, yeah, okay. There's that.
I mean,
you're right.
So, I mean, when you're looking at the high water mark of this franchise, Kelly McGregor was there, and then he was that buffer. He was that buffer between Dick and Charlie when Charlie was more active in things.
They needed Monforts. A couple levels of buffers between the Monforts and actual baseball.
But look, all this promotion for Fiesel is it's Dick Monfort exerting even more control over what they do.
Mm-hmm.
He's his right-hand guy. And there was the reports that Clint Hurdle was being considered for club president. Clint Hurdle would have been the perfect, I wouldn't say the perfect guy, would have been a really good person for this because he's a baseball guy.
Mm-hmm.
Former manager of the Rockies, Pirates manager, former major leaguer. Knows baseball, and to have Greg Fiesel step into this role and to not hire a GM or start looking to hire a GM sooner than the end of the season. Let's hope that they do that sooner, but I doubt that.
I doubt it.
I don't think we're going to have, I think what they probably said is accurate. We're not going to see anybody in this job before the end of the season.
I doubt it for the same reason that Fiesel, not Clint Hurdle, is the club president, because Dick Monfort doesn't want to give up that autonomy, give up that control. He doesn't want to. Clint Hurdle would want a certain level of autonomy and independence from Dick Monfort, and I don't think he's willing to give that up.
Look, let me use this example. A couple of years ago, we had a kitchen remodel.
Mm-hmm.
I can do a few things. I can replace a toilet. I can fix a few things. But that's beyond my depth to do electrical, plumbing, to do all those things and do them well. Could I do them somewhat half-baked?
Sure.
I could do some of them probably, but it wouldn't go. It wouldn't look good. It wouldn't.
You can hang some prefab cabinets probably.
Exactly. But that's beyond my depth.
Right.
To make it look good and for it to really be the way that it should be. Dick Monfort, you need to realize this, you're beyond your depth here.
Mm-hmm.
You might own a baseball team. You might love baseball, but it doesn't mean you know jack squat about the actual minor league system.
Right.
Curtis Beetleman and myself, we did our Davis and Beetle podcast yesterday, and we talked quite a bit about this. You know, and Beetle feels like to a degree that, and you can check that out or go to our website, theteam1340.com. You can find the podcast there. And, you know, his feeling was that the minor league, the people down the ladder in the minor league system, it's not all Jeff Bridges. Bridges plays a role.
Mm-hmm.
But he feels like that there's been certainly a lack of competency at the minor league level in scouting and evaluation and things like that. And that while Bridges deserves the brunt of the criticism, the resources that he's had access to may have not always been the best. And look, what's always been one of the complaints about the Rockies, they don't spend enough on analytics.
Yeah, they always seem to be behind other teams.
They've always they've invested a lot in the system in the DR, the Dominican Republic, and the Latin pipeline, and that's fine, and it's paid off for them. And they've gotten for the academy in the Dominican Republic, they've gotten a lot of credit for that over the years.
Right, but the Rockies are also, hey, we should beef up our analytics department. Let's put in a humidor. That's the type of decision the Rockies make.
Which is okay, but you need to do both.
Right.
I mean, both things need to happen. And there's just, as long as there's, and this is where, if people want to talk about the Rockies being cheap, okay, this is where you want, it's not what they spend on the field.
No, what they spend on players is up there with other, right.
But I think we looked at what 11th, a lot of other competitors. 11th, like 11th in the league.
Yeah, and I think Keeler's article has them this year at like 14th.
Yeah, so they're
middle of the pack.
But they're middle of the pack. So it's not, they're not the cheapest baseball team when it comes to paying talent. But they might be a cheap team when it comes to how they approach their analytics, how they approach their minor league system, those things. And so while, okay, it's fine that Jeff Breidich is gone. The aloof nature of him, the I'm the smartest guy in the room feel that you got from him. I had the chance to meet him the one time when he came here on the Rockies caravan. He was pleasant. He was not a surly turd. You could tell he's a guy that's not the most outgoing, friendly guy, but he wasn't rude. He wasn't discourteous. I my interaction with him was quite pleasant, actually. But I've seen the press conferences, though. I've seen how he's reacted to questions. I've seen, well, what happened with Nolan Arenado and how he handled that, how poorly he handled that. And so while he's gone, that's a question I have today for the pile, or queued up a question of the day today. Breidich is gone, but does it really change anything? Does it really fix the problem this team has? You needed a, if you're, look, I've said for a long time, they need a club president. They need a buffer between Dick Monfort and now whoever the GM will be down the road. Kelly McGregor, it wasn't like Kelly McGregor was the greatest team president ever. But at least they were able to find a way to put together a good enough season to go to a World Series.
They allowed him a lot of independence, too.
Right. And so I just think that you need that. Dick Monfort needs somebody to protect Dick from himself. Because that's been the problem. You know, and look, same deal with Dick Monfort. He's been here before. He's here when we've got the GJ Rockies. Mm-hmm. Very nice man. Very, very pleasant. But let's be honest. Let's evaluate where things are with this team. And whoever thought we'd say this, Buckeye. Man, I miss Dan O'Dowd. I miss Dan O'Dowd. Dan O'Dowd went from being, you know, hated by Rockies fans.
He's a pariah.
Total pariah. And, you know, now it's kind of like you see him on MLB Network when he makes an appearance. And has in the past. Mm-hmm. You kind of pine for him a little bit. You're like, man, we miss you, Dan.
And it's weird because when he resigned and Breidich was promoted, it was, oh, man, it's going to be more of the same with Dan O'Dowd.
Well, no, it got worse.
It got worse.
More of the same would have been compared to where things are now. Would have been probably fine. Would at least compared to now would have been okay.
They were 20 games under 500 in 19. They barely competed last year.
Hot start. Finished.
They may not win
horrific.
A game on the road this season.
Well, last night's any indication. That's
and
entirely possible.
The new GM needs three things from Dick Monfort. Four things. One, his checkbook. Two, his phone. Three, his talking points. And four, for him to get out of town. Dick Monfort needs to go to the Stan Kroenke School of Ownership. Here's the checkbook.
Go get it.
Here's the keys to the facilities. I'm going to England. Or wherever Stan Kroenke is right now. And Dick Monfort needs to go there and let the team be. It's like a stock. It's a long-term stock. Put the money in and leave it alone.
When was the last time you heard Stan or Josh Kroenke?
Yeah, Josh is even
more,
Josh.
Josh is more boots on the ground, you know, day-to-day operational, the governor of the Avalanche, obviously heavily involved with the Nuggets.
Usually the only time we hear from him is when one of the Nuggets GMs gets plucked from another team because they're run so well in the front office.
And they promote another guy, like Karnisovas.
Right, bless you.
No, thank you. Arturas Karnisovas going to the Bulls.
Oh, that's his name. Sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. That was...
Thought you got to hit a little pepper.
No. It is allergy season, so yes. Keep that in mind. But, yeah, I mean, when something like, you know, when somebody gets plucked to go someplace else, that's when you see Josh Kroenke show up. Nuggets, it's Tim Connelly.
Yeah.
Tim Connelly runs the show, pure and simple. And, you know, they've had turnover there as far as the GM goes. Who runs the Avalanche?
That's Joe Sakic.
It's the captain. It's Joe Sakic.
You don't see any Kroenkes or anybody else, you know, in the owner suite. It's always Joe Sakic with maybe another legendary player from the Avs, right, history, one of his teammates, you know, having some bro time, or he's swindling another team out of some really good young player.
Yeah, and look, in the Nuggets, it's Tim Connelly, it's Calvin Booth.
Yeah.
To replace Kardasovas. I mean, that's... The Kroenkes, for all the faults that they have, and
with their soccer team and the Rams and the whole thing.
And all that stuff, they leave the Nuggets and Avs alone, and look where the Nuggets and Avs are.
Mm-hmm.
The playoff teams.
Perennial playoff teams.
Contenders.
Now. Yeah.
Broncos, well, the situation is, it's very up in the air right now,
mm-hmm,
in terms of the ownership situation. But decisions were made that John Elway, the time for him to move out of the GM spot. They made the decision. They guess what they did? They brought somebody in from the outside.
Yeah.
They didn't promote, you know, Greg Fiesel, who played for the Denver Gold, was the Packers and Chargers. He was the sales director for Coca-Cola for the Rockies before joining the Rockies in 96. That's okay, that's fine. He's got business acumen. That's great.
The GM should be a regional guy for Pepsi. Just for fun.
Why not?
A regional GM of PepsiCo.
See how that works. I just think it's good that Bridich is gone. Does it really fix anything? I tend to think it probably doesn't. And here was an opportunity for Dick Monfort to show Rockies fans, hey, we screwed up things to Nolan Arenado.
Mm-hmm.
We have had... We've made bad decisions in free agency.
Here's the thing. Nobody thinks they have.
So that guy's gone. The guy that did some of those things is gone. We're going to bring in somebody that we feel like can repair some of the damage here and chart a course that's a better course than we've been on the last couple of seasons. You know, and look for Bridich to hang his hat on. Well, into the wild card back-to-back years. Good. That's
then you
great.
Got swept by the Brewers.
It's fine that you went to the postseason back-to-back years, but it's maintaining. It's not going, okay, mission accomplished, let's hang the banner. We went to the playoffs back-to-back years.
Mm-hmm.
It's keeping a team in contention year after year.
They've added, what, two major league free agents in 3 years?
Yeah. it's maddening. It's absolutely maddening. So your reaction today to the departure of Jeff Bridich, text or call us today. Chick-fil-A breakfast team phone line 970-242-1340. That's our Qdoba question of the day today.
Them and the Diamondbacks are going to be fighting for a distant fourth in this division this year with the way things unfolded last night.
Yes.
There was like instead of jubilation like the fan base had, the team was like a malaise.
No, they went out last night.
Our boss quit.
Oh.
It seemed like none of the outfielders were in position. They were always chasing after balls. It's like, the Giants aren't that lucky, are they? It seemed like anywhere they hit it, Tapia, he's got a range to his left, it's past him. You know, center field, right field, all over the place. And then if it's out of the zone, I'm going to go ahead and swing at it, Trevor Story, Charlie Blackman. Come on.
Like they're going to hit... You know, a 9-run home run.
And Di Scalafini is not that unhittable.
But Di Scalafini was... He owned them last night.
He did.
And Austin Gomber, as much as we've been praising him, he was...
At least he was in the strike zone.
Let's say a little too much in the strike zone last night.
It was dead center, but he was in it.
9 runs on 7 hits, inning and 2/3.
Yeah. What, sound like back to
Mike Francesa.
Back RBI knocks by the Giants. Yeah, it was not a stellar performance.
All right, well, we will have the Rockies and the Giants tonight. 7 o'clock tonight, right here on the team. All right, let's get to
what's happening.
All right, there will be new leadership for the Colorado Rockies going forward as the now former executive vice president and general manager Jeff Bridich just stepped down. Team released a statement yesterday. Vice President and CEO Greg Fiesel will see the vice drop from his title as he's been promoted to club president. He'll retain his role as chief operating officer. Manager Bud Black says he was shocked when Bredich told him before the team left for the series in San Francisco.
Jeff indicated that, you know, moving forward, the Rockies, you know, and, you know, those of us downstairs in uniform or, you know, are in a good place. You know, basically he felt it was time.
Felt they're in a good place. Okay. Rockies are ripped by the Giants 12-0 Monday night. Cubs starter Austin Gomber got lit up for 9 runs and 7 hits in just an inning and 2/3. Rocks in San Francisco on the team tonight pregame at 7 o'clock. For that one, another rough night for the Avalanche and a 4-1 loss at St. Louis Monday. Colorado fell behind 2-0. Was never able to come back as third-string goalie Jonas Johansson stopped 16 shots in his first action since April 11th. Avs are 0-2 since clinching a playoff spot. The top-ranked Colorado Mesa baseball team's now on an 18-game winning streak after taking both games of a doubleheader at Regis Monday. The Mavs won Game 1 14-1 behind a two-hitter from Jared Urie and two home runs from Matthew Turner. CMU took the second game 12-8 with Gage Edwards picking up the win in his first ever collegiate start. Mavs second baseman Harrison Rogers hit his eighth home run of the season as CMU hit four homers in Game 2. The 30-2 Mavs are set to host Colorado Christian Friday night, but positive COVID test for the Cougars could postpone that series. The Western Slope League champion Palisade volleyball team will be home this Saturday to start the postseason. Chas announced the brackets Monday, and the third-seeded Bulldogs will play 22nd-seeded Falcon at 10 o'clock in the morning, with Falcon facing Woodland Park, with Palisade and Woodland Park finishing off the round-robin tournament. Montrose received a 20th seed. They'll play at 5th-seeded Coronado, and 5A 17-seeded Fruital Monument will travel to play at 8th-seeded Fossil Ridge Friday at 2:30. The Wildcats will then play Chatfield at 4 o'clock, and 3A 23rd-seeded Delta plays at 2nd-seeded Montezuma Cortez with Manitou Springs in that region. And 2A 24th-seeded Olathe plays at top-seeded Wiggins. All region winners will move on to play at the Broadmoor World Arena in Colorado Springs in the state tournament May 12th and 13th. Also, need to mention that the Plateau Valley football team, congratulations to the Cowboys. They have made the 8-man football playoffs, and they will take on Justice. Plateau Valley getting a 4th seed, Justice a 5th seed, and Plateau Valley Justice, they'll score off at 2 o'clock this Saturday in the 8-man football playoffs. Glenwood Springs Rifle, they got into the playoffs as well in 3A. The Fruital Monument girls golf team took 3rd place at the Gypsum Creek Championship. The Wildcat Sierra Nutzelman shot a 94 to take 4th. The teammate Kenda Abbott, 5th with a 99. Grand Junction Samantha Bellin, shot a 111 to tie for 11th. Vail Mountain won the team title at the Gypsum Creek Championship. And that's a quick look at
what's happening.
All right, Jim, along with the Buckeye Boy, your thoughts about the departure of one Jeff Bredich as the Rockies general manager. Text or call us today, 970-242-1340. Coming up at 8:20 this morning, your chance to win with 357 Reloaded Stadium Cinema. That'll be on the way later on. All right, 7:26, we'll take a break, and we'll come back with more on the Jim Davis Show on the team, Colorado Sports Leader.
Touchdown every morning.
Woo! The Jim Davis Show on Colorado Sports Leader, the team.
Welcome back, 7:30. Jim Davis along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Jeff Bredich is out. How much is he going to change things? I don't think it changes things a whole lot, to be quite honest. Particularly when you're Dick Monfort and you're promoting, you're the guy that runs the business side of things for you to kind of absorb some of the job that belonged to Jeff Bredich. And what's one of the criticisms of Dick Monfort? That he took on some of the responsibilities of being what Kelly McGregor used to do as club president, and that Dick's just not necessarily suited for that role. So it's knowing what you're capable of doing. A man has to know his limitations. And Dick Monfort apparently doesn't get that. Or it's also hiring people that you feel like can get the job done, and that may sometimes go against the grain, may not necessarily agree with you. And having somebody think outside the box. The Broncos did the right thing. They brought in George Payton. That was smart. They had to do that. And does Elway still have some influence on the draft and things like that? Sure. But by and large, this is George Payton's show. This is his draft coming up Thursday. And as a fan, that makes you feel better that somebody that has new ideas, new ways of doing things, is now in the fold to bring a fresh perspective. Now, I've heard some of the criticism of George Payton that, well, yeah, they had some good teams in Minnesota, but not great teams. Well, Rick Spielman's also the GM there, and it wasn't entirely always George Payton making all the decisions. But considering where the Broncos are right now, wouldn't you rather take a guy like George Payton that was able to draft and also bring in free agents that helped the Vikings get to the playoffs? Isn't that a whole lot better than what we've had over the last 5 years?
Yeah.
Sometimes, yeah. I read that comment the other day. Well, look, what he never really did anything that great. Vikings are good teams, not great teams.
They're better than the Broncos.
There's times that, like, and I'm a, you know me, I'm a diehard Broncos fan. Mm-hmm. But there are times like, what's wrong with you people? Do you not see who you are, what this franchise is right now? You act like you're supposed to get filet mignon, caviar.
Mm-hmm. You're in the Salisbury steak area.
And that might be a tad generous.
With no gravy.
Yeah. But your thoughts on Jeff Braddich? Sounds like it was kind of a mutual thing. We'll talk more about it. The timing was interesting, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
If they won back-to-back series and, you know, the dust had kind of started to settle a little bit from the Nolan Arenado trade, but mm-hmm. We'll get into that a little bit more. But
they're playing way too well for the team that he put on the field.
Exactly.
He just couldn't handle it anymore.
Right. So they reverted to form last night.
Yeah.
So your thoughts on Jeff Braddich about his resignation? It's not like it was very, very much a mutual thing between both parties. Text or call us 970-242-1340. So let's jump to that this morning. Bud Black was asked about it yesterday. And here's Bud Black's comments about the departure of one Jeff Braddich.
We were all surprised. We were shocked, actually. Jeff told me late yesterday afternoon after the ball game before we hopped on the airplane. And, you know, we shared a moment together in my office with the door closed and talked freely about a lot of things over the last 5 years. But, you know, Jeff indicated that, you know, moving forward, the Rockies, you know, and, you know, those of us downstairs in uniform are, you know, are in a good place. And, you know, basically he felt it was time, you know, downstairs, meaning down the clubhouse, you know, the players and I and the coaches, you know, we will continue to do what we do. You know, obviously there's a separation between the front office and the field. You know, this impacts us, you know, I mean, we lose a valuable member, you know, of our baseball team in a lot of ways. But we also know that the game moves forward. And, you know, Jeff and I talked about that, you know, and he, you know, stressed to me and, you know, I think others in the front office to, you know, keep plowing ahead and get after it. But again, I think on the day-to-day basis, you know, what we do in the clubhouse, on the field, as coaches and players, you know, we'll continue on.
Right, that's Bud Black.
They're in a good place where?
I when he said that, you know, it's my comment earlier mm-hmm. when I was doing what's happening. I'm like, really? And here's something else that Bud said that, and I like Bud Black.
I always got to say this. I understand.
But, you know, he was asked if perhaps Braddich was burned out. And he said, like, you know, and that probably is true. It's a better question to ask Jeff Braddich. It's not fair to ask Bud Black that. But, you know, Bud said, this is from the Post, but I think being a general manager in any professional sport's hard. I mean, it's truly a 365, you know, situation. You're on the clock almost every hour of every day. He says, I think you've all written stories about deals being made on Christmas, trades being made on Thanksgiving. It's really a time-consuming job, and it's hard. But I do know this. Jeff tried each and every day to make us better and to do what he could do from his position to make the Rockies the best organization he could. Did he really try that hard to make them better every single day? I'm not sold on that. This Bridges is just grinding every single day, working on Christmas Eve, working on Christmas Day, working on Thanksgiving. I get it. Bud wants to say nice things. I understand that.
I mean, he brought him in. He hired him.
Right. So there's a relationship there and a friendship that. But don't you say that's a bunch of horse hockey?
There's a bunch of guys every year that's floating around that can easily be signed. Even hanger-on guys. And he goes out and he signs. Who was the one a couple of years ago? I can't remember. And there's like Chris Owings and CJ Krohn. And they've been fine, serviceable for the Rockies. But that's... Daniel DeScalso.
Guys like that.
Those are the best guys he can bring in via free agency. He brought in routinely guys to play first base that had never played it before. And they're big leaguers. Let's put Ian Desmond at first base. He doesn't really play first base. Daniel That's fine. Murphy. It's easy to learn.
Daniel Murphy hasn't played that much at first
base. Daniel Murphy got hurt his first day. Opening day got hurt at first base. I don't know whether that's because he's never played the position before or what, but got hurt.
And his defensive metrics are horrible.
Yeah, and they kept trying to wedge him in there. It's just bad move after bad move. And I like Bud Black. I really do. But they're in a good spot where exactly?
I'm just not, you know, when Bud said that, I'm like, what do you mean you're in a good spot?
Look at this lineup. Look at the bullpen. Starting rotation? Okay. They're all right.
Yeah.
Farm system.
But look who you've lost, though.
Yeah.
You traded Nolan Arenado for nothing.
Pretty much.
Didn't want to keep David Dahl for just peanuts, basically, for
pennies.
He's making
2.7 this year for the Rangers. The Rockies couldn't find that somewhere with Daniel Murphy's expiring contract and Ian Desmond opting out.
That was dumb.
DJ LeMahieu signed with the Yankees for the same money the Rockies offered him, but he didn't want to play for Jeff Wright at Japan.
And from what we hear, he wanted to stay.
He wanted to stay. He wanted to be a Rocky. And they evidently didn't show him that love. And now he's a perennial MVP candidate. And not necessarily the last 2 weeks, but he's a perennial candidate for MVP with the Yankees.
All right, very quickly, some good news for the Rockies in regard to John Gray. With the win over Philadelphia Sunday, became the first Rockies pitcher with four consecutive starts at Coors Field, allowing four or fewer hits and two or fewer runs in five or more innings. So, trying to find some positive here, right?
Yeah, right.
Good for the Gray Wolf that happened. Now, last night, Rockies get three hit. They get blasted 12-0 last night. Austin Gomber gives up. Well, he just got rocked. Inning and two thirds, seven hits, nine runs, all earned. Three strikeouts, four walks. He was gone last night as the Rockies. The bright spot, Josh Fuentes, positional player, first baseman, infielder, comes in and works a scoreless ninth.
Maybe he should start next time around.
Maybe he should. Oh, boy. Rockies, but, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Couple positives, though. Austin Gomber, around the strike zone. I think he only walked, two or three? Not bad.
Sure.
A little better. And they got more hits yesterday than the Braves did in the entirety of 14 innings on Sunday.
Very true.
So there is that. So there's some positives to take away from a 12-0 loss.
Game two tonight, Chichi Gonzalez on the bump for the Rockies, 1-0, ERA of 3. So Gonzalez the righty against Aaron Sanchez of the Giants the righty, 1-1, 1.83. So
do they ERA. Score a run? I'm not asking if they win. Do they get on the board?
They'll score a run. They'll score. They're not going to be more than one. They'll score a run.
Yeah.
But 7:45 first pitch, Oracle Park, our pregame at 7 tonight, right here on the Team Sports Network. Let's get to.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
All right, what do you have, Buckeye?
Well, yesterday, Alex Smith was on the Dan Patrick Show talking about his retirement, and Dan asked him when he knew, and he relayed a pretty cool story.
When did you have that epiphany that you went, okay, I'm good with this?
This is no joke. I went skiing and snowboarding with my kids. And it was something that I'd put off for a long time because of football ever since I haven't been since college. And then when the injury happened, I doubted if I'd ever be able to go again. My parents have taken my kids, so they're pretty decent skiers at this point. I haven't ever been with them, you know, and I grew up, my dad taught me to ski when I was 2 years old. I grew up going with my family and it was always this family environment. So I got to go this year. It was amazing. It was an amazing experience with my kids and my dad also, and for all of us to be on the mound together and my mom, and you know, it was an amazing experience. So for me, yeah, there was a moment where we paused on the side of the mountain and my two boys were next to me and my dad was there as well. And yeah, it definitely hit me that I want more of that. You know, I want to chase more of that. I've been putting that off for a long, long time and I can go do that now. And the reason I can go do it is partly because I pursued football.
It's a very cool interview. If you didn't catch it yesterday,
very cool.
Track it down, YouTube, Dan Patrick's website. So very, very neat interview yesterday.
All right. Coming up next, of course, the state volleyball brackets were announced yesterday. Fruita Monument volleyball coach Kim Johansson is going to join us next to do a preview. Their matchup with Fossil Ridge and Chatfield this Friday over in the Front Range. That's coming up next on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Colorado Sports Leader.
Who do I listen to?
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado Sports Leader.
Whoever suggested that has got to be smoking crack and plenty of it.
Whoa.
The Team.
Welcome back, 7:45. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy, the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. Jeff Breidich, no longer the Rockies general manager. How happy are you today about that? I think there's a certain level of joy, right? But it doesn't solve all the Rockies' problems. At least, I think, in our opinion, anyway. All right, text or call us, 970-242-1340. And joining us right now on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, she's the coach of the Fruita Monument volleyball team. And it's Kim Johansson who joins us. Kim, I appreciate the time. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing fine. Like I said, I appreciate you coming on last minute today to talk about the 5A state tournament bracket. And for your volleyball team, you get the 17 seed to open up things. And you'll travel to play at 8 seed at Fossil Ridge on Friday at 2:30. So pretty much, you know, with the way the RPI is, kind of locked into that spot. And no big surprise that you'd probably be in that range when it came to a seed.
Actually, our RPI was 7. We were 7.
Okay, so you felt like we should have been a little bit higher than the 17th.
Yeah, so they changed how they're doing things. I think it was just this year. So they have your RPI, your max prep ranking. So we were 7th in RPI. We were 11th in our max prep rating. And then they added in this coaches poll. And we were pretty low in the coaches poll, and that, you know, made us go down from 7th and 11th all the way to 17th.
But like I said, typically though, that's not a factor when it comes to qualifying for the postseason and where you would have been seated. So it was a fairly significant change then.
Yes. Yeah, so I think that was changed this year, that they now factor in the coaches' poll into postseason seating.
Well, on the road Friday, you go to Fossil Ridge over in the Fort Collins area, and you'll face Fossil Ridge Friday afternoon at 2:30. And when looking at some of their numbers, it's a team like your team has had a really good season, 12-1 overall, 11-0. In their conference, of course, in their standings in their conference, they put together an undefeated campaign. And when you look at some of the numbers for them in terms of kills, the player that leads away for them is Quinn Van Manen. She has 136 kills on the season, a very, very good volleyball player for that Fossil Ridge squad.
Yep. Yeah.
What have you seen in terms of your scouting and what you know about this volleyball team outside of Van Manen?
Not a whole lot. We don't know a lot about them, but we really want to focus on our side of the net, and what we're doing on our side of the net. And you know, as long as we can control, and eliminate errors on our side of the net, I think we're going to be in a good spot.
Kim Johansson, coach of the Fruita Monument volleyball team, receiving a 17 seed in the 5A state region, trying to qualify for the state tournament, May 12th and 13th over at the Broadmoor World Arena in Colorado Springs. So you'll get Fossil Ridge at 2:30 on Friday at their place, and then as part of the round robin, next up would be Chatfield at 4 o'clock. What have you heard about this Chatfield squad?
Yeah, I've heard that Chatfield's really strong, that they've had a good season. That's about it. Once again, we're going to focus on what we do and what we can control.
Well, and obviously you finished the regular season, really strong, three straight wins, and you had that win at Durango. We talked to you, I think, the day before that, before you went down and played Durango and beat them, and then wrapped it up with the win against Coleridge. So a good way to head into this postseason on that that three-match winning streak.
Yes. Yep. We're glad we were able to get those two wins. We knew we should have, won the first time. And so we were anxious to right that wrong.
Well, obviously Coleridge is having a very good season, in their classification. But to get that win against Durango, to go there and beat them on their floor, on their court, obviously was a huge momentum lift for your volleyball team.
Yes. Yep. And I think, every time you win and you play well, you just gain more confidence and more trust in the program and your teammates, and just helps you in games to come.
Well, Kim, I appreciate the time. Thanks again for coming on today, and best of luck to you and the Wildcats coming up Friday over in Fort Collins at Fossil Ridge.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kim Johansson of the Fruit of Monument volleyball team. Yeah, I hadn't factored in the RPI. I forgot that they were seventh in the RPI, but with adding the coaches poll, that took them down to 17th. But they will be in action on Friday over in Fort Collins. We mentioned that Palisade, the Western Slope League champions, that they will be hosting on Saturday, and they'll get Falcon, the 22nd seed. The Bulldogs, a third seed, by the way, in the 4A tournament, and they'll play Falcon at 10 o'clock on Saturday morning, and then Falcon plays Woodland Park, with the Bulldogs taking on Woodland Park to finish off that round robin, that region. And like we said, all region winners there'll be eight of them in each classification, will go on to the Broadmoor World Arena for the state volleyball tournament May 12th and 13th. So appreciate Kim Johansson joining us for just a few minutes this morning. Text or call the show, 970-242-1340. That's 970-242-1340. Jim, along with the Buckeye Boy, I've got some thoughts about the resignation of Jeff Breidich yesterday. Jeff Breidich stepping down. Jamie, I'm concerned about the lack of acknowledgement that this was a failed era under Breidich. Too much about this was good for Jeff. Have they learned anything? I get Bud Black's in a bad spot. Bud wants to, like you said, Jeff's the guy that hired him.
Right. And it's not on Bud to acknowledge that this era is a failure. But it's people above him. You don't say your former boss was a failure. You say your former employee was a failure. And that's where Dick Monfort needs to come out and acknowledge. Right?
Right.
So I agree with Jamie. I just think it's not necessarily on Bud. I think it's more on ownership and people above him.
Well, and here's my thought, too. Why aren't you doing a press conference yesterday on this? If you're Dick Monfort, why aren't you coming to the podium? Oh, I know why. Because you don't want to take questions on this.
No, he doesn't want to stand in front of the firing squad
but
there.
But that's what you should be doing, though. You should be saying, here's why Fiesel's moving into this spot. Mm-hmm. Here's why we're doing this. And not just,
has Dick Monfort been seen since the start of last season's press conference? Has he had an actual press conference where he's had to answer questions?
No, and that's part of the problem here. There, the lack of transparency is a problem of not saying, hey, look, here's why we did this. Yeah, we get it. Jeff did some good things. Because you don't want to totally throw him under the bus, but we have to make some changes to get back to being the kind of organization that can contend for the postseason. That's what the fans want. That's what they expect, and that's what they deserve. And here's why we're making this change. And this is what our plans are for whoever we hires the GM. And this is what we hope Fiesel will be doing in this role, this expanded role, as now essentially the club president. to let the fan base know that, hey, we're doing this to try to make the product better. We understand you're frustrated. We hear you. We feel you, right?
Yeah.
But no, it's put out a statement. Well, like everybody can read the statement. They can interpret what they want from that statement. I think that's horse crap.
There's not even, I don't even think there's a quote from Dick in the statement.
No, there's not. And that's a problem. That's a big problem.
I'm trying to think back to their drafts post 2014. After Dan O'Dowd, he resigned at the end of the 2014 season, right? So 15, 16, 17. I don't know anybody that really has ascended for the Rockies under Jeff Rydich.
Now, Monfort did make, there's quotes in the statement from him.
Oh, okay. There was not.
There are quotes from him. And we'll get to that coming up next hour. Talk about the Rydich legacy, air quote, some of that. All right, don't forget 820, 357 Reloaded Stadium Cinema will have that for you. Text or call the show, 970-242-1340. Jim, along with the Buckeye Boy, your reaction to Jeff Rydich, no longer the Rockies GM. How much of his departure fixes the problem with the Rockies? Your thoughts on that today, we'd love to hear from you.